Services District Board of Directors for Wednesday, February 14th, 5:30 p.m. Have a call to order, please.
Director Bernay. Director Colwell.
Here.
Director Angelo. Director, Vice President Austin.
Here.
And President White.
Here. Okay, well, let's have the flag salute, please. Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Check the agenda today.
President White, members
yes.
of the board, we have modified our recommendations in item 8B, the review and approval of minutes for the regular meeting of February 28th. We had February 13th, agenda item A, in there twice, so you will have February 28th in your next board packet for approval. So with the deletion of 8B.
Delete 8B.
Yes, delete 8B.
Okay.
And then we have provided a modified staff report with the item that has been revised in the payroll summary report. The original packet stated federal and state taxes at $4,898.66, which was $11.26 short of the $4,909.92 that was sent for PIT and SDI taxes. This adjustment will increase the total cash disbursements from $81,328.03 to $81,339.29. So this is for item 8C. And so at the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations in item 8C as modified.
Thank you, Ms. Gaziola. Do we have a motion on approval of the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda as modified.
I second.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 3-0, 2 absent. Move on to closed session. Would Mr. Minery care to?
Okay. President White, would you call for public comment?
Yes, I can call for public comment, but seeing absolutely no one in the audience, I will assume there's no one coming forward.
Thank you. Pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, Conference with Legal Counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus the City of Santa Maria.
Thank you.
They are.
Go back to general session, the Wednesday, March 14th meeting of the Oceana Community Service District. I'd like to report out of closed session.
The report out of closed session is no reportable action.
Okay. Moving on to public comment on items not on the agenda. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest that within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, the public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening, Charles Varney, Oceano. I wanted to just make an observation about the town hall meeting that happened, I think it was last week, with the sheriff and the district attorney and our supervisor, that I think, as I mentioned at the meeting, that I thought that those topics that were being raised about gun violence and crime and automatic weapons were, you know, valid ones and to have some community discussion about, but that a town hall meeting is one where there's more an exchange between the people there and the members of the community, and that I would hope that in future town hall meetings, we will be dealing with issues that are more relevant to the residents here in Oceano, like the revitalization plan, curbs, gutters, sidewalks, Pier Avenue, access to the beach, those kinds of things. And as the entity that defines itself as our local government, I think that's an important function for you all to serve. And I would invite you to, you know, think of a town hall meeting to assess the needs and desires of the local community. And just finally, having the big town hall meeting about crime, to me, just reinforces the whole stereotype of Oceano's, you know, a gang-ridden criminal place, and which we're not. But there are other better reasons for us to come together in a town hall setting than that one. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Replogle. I'm with the Oceano Beach Community Association, newly formed. And I'd like to also support Charles' comments about having a town hall meeting. I think that's a great idea. I'd also like to mention that we are holding a community meeting on March 31st at 2 p.m. at The Place. And we're going to be working on priorities for making the revitalization plan for Oceano into a reality. So I'd invite everyone here, folks in the audience, to come out to that community meeting and work with us. Thank you.
Excuse me. Where is the meeting being held?
At The Place. It's the art co-op. It's
right down at 13th and...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just didn't know the name of it.
Yeah, and you can check on our website also. It's oceanobeach.org. Or we're also on Facebook. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to come forward? Saying close public comment. Moving on to special presentations and report. Ben Freim from the City of Pismo Beach, the Public Works Director, is going to present a program on the Central Coast Blue Recycled Water Program. Ben, you've got the floor.
Thank you, Honorable President White, members of the board, staff, and public. It's an honor to be here. Before I get started, I want to not only thank you for having me here this evening, but also for your support and contributions to this project. Without all of us working together, there's no doubt we wouldn't be where we are today. So this is an update on what was referred to as the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. There we go. A severe drought has impacted local water supply and caused concern for seawater intrusion, as many of you are aware. And water leaders have developed a regional groundwater sustainability solution known as the RGSP, or Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. Some of the successes to date include a 50-50 cost share for the EIR between the city of Pismo Beach and the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, a groundwater model that will cover the entire area of the Santa Maria groundwater basin located within the county of San Luis Obispo, and that's being funded by the three agencies shown here, the city of Pismo Beach, County of San Luis Obispo Flood Control and Conservation District, Zone 3, and the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. The project will be two phases. The first phase will treat and deliver effluent from the city of Pismo Beach wastewater treatment plant, and the second phase will treat and deliver water from the South County Sand District plant. Preliminary engineering for phase one is being funded by the city of Pismo Beach, and preliminary engineering for phase two is being funded by the city of Grover Beach and Oro Grande. So there's a lot of agreements going on here for all these funding mechanisms. We also recently awarded a Prop 1 planning grant, which I will tell you here in a minute. Our initial award was $1.1 million. We scoped $1.7 million worth of work to be done under the grant. And we've been told by the Water Board staff that we can get up to $2 million in grant funds if we can come up with $1.6 million in matching funds. The neat thing about this is all money expended since we applied for the grant, which was November 4th, 2014, counts towards that cost share. So reaching that $1.6 million really won't be a problem, and we're excited to get that $2 million in grant funding. The grant fund will pay for a test injection well, design, testing, and construction, updating the groundwater model. Looking at the advanced water purification, we're going to take wastewater, which we treated locally. It'll be sent to a new regional treatment plant, hopefully located at the South San Luis Obispo Santa Clara District site. It'll be treated to drinking water quality standards. However, since California doesn't have a program in place to deliver that water directly, it'll be injected into the groundwater basin, where it'll become a new sustainable resource for our communities. So up to this point, and when we did our initial branding, we were really targeting the funders, all the available grants, and the regulators. And we came up with the name Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project because that had the buzzwords that they really wanted to hear. What we failed to make the connection, and where we really failed on the branding, was connecting with our community. And that's what's really important at this stage, is that we have a connection with the community and we get buy-in from the community. And so the agencies all came together and worked with our consultant to try to come up with a new brand that reflects that. We wanted a brand that speaks to our connection to water, a brand that acknowledges the value we place on water on the Central Coast, a brand that connects our community in closing the water gap, and a brand that honors the water sustainability legacy that we are leading. We also wanted the brand to demonstrate our water initiative across the world. So together, we're defining and celebrating a new water journey that we now call Central Coast Blue. Sorry, the computer's a little slow. Central Coast Blue will provide a high-quality water source for the five cities' communities, a solution for drought-resistant water supplies, and it will capture an existing resource for groundwater replenishment. Central Coast Blue will increase municipal groundwater supplies by up to 60%. It will provide a sustainable water supplies. It will reduce ocean discharge by 77%, and it will put to beneficial use recycled water that's currently being discharged to the ocean. These five agencies are managing our water collaboratively and holistically to create a lasting water legacy and water independence. Regional cooperation is not new to the five agencies. The regional water stewardship led to the Lake Lopez Dam, and Central Coast Blue provides an equal significant water solution for our communities and for our future. Tagline that we've created is one community, one water, one future. So this kind of highlights where we are in the process, where we've been and where we're going. We've been working since 2016 on extensive planning and collaboration. Currently this year we're doing the preliminary design, technology piloting, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. environmental review, and community connection, and that's what this rebranding is all about, is our connection to the community. Next year, we're hoping to do the phase one design and permitting. We'll do the advanced treatment plant design, site selection. Again, the preferred site is at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. The only reason why we wouldn't site it there is if we have problems permitting through the Coastal Commission. And then also test injection well. In 2020, we're hoping to kick off construction for phase one and be in preliminary design for phase two. And in 2021, we're hoping to operate phase one and start construction on phase two, and we will become one step closer to water independence. I mentioned the demonstration facility. IDE, Israeli Desal Engineers, is a world leader in the desalination business, and they want to start working in the recycled water business. They selected our project due to where we are in the process, as well as our geographical location, to fund a demonstration facility. So IDE has paid, it's been over $1 million that they've invested in the pilot plant, which is currently in operation at the City of Pismo Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant. We're really excited to have it. There's two different technologies that they are testing out. One is their proprietary technology, which they're expecting will reduce O&M costs by up to 30%. And then the other is a traditional microfiltration process. There will be an open house and ribbon cutting that has been scheduled for May 15th this year at 3:30, and you are all invited to come. You will receive formal invitations to that as soon as we get them printed up, and hopefully you can all come cut the ribbon and celebrate with us. And just to let you know, the reason that it's located at the Pismo Beach plant instead of South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District is, I'm sure you're all aware of the upgrades that are needed at the sanitary district site to improve the quality of their effluent. So Pismo Beach's effluent is of a higher quality, and that's the only reason why it's located there. The project, when constructed, will be at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District site. Some of the key schedule items, we had a benefit subcommittee meeting on February 15th. We had a stakeholder meeting on March 9th. And then we received a conceptual model on the, or conceptual technical memorandum on the groundwater model on February 20th. And this will help us to decide the preliminary injection field locations. Central Coast Blue will protect our shared groundwater. Central Coast Blue recognizes that all water has value, and Central Coast Blue is the right investment for the future. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions from the board? My only question would be, we don't know yet where the injection site will be, where we will put it back into the ground.
That is correct. There'll be several injection sites, and we're evaluating if it's better to do it along the coast or inland. One train of thought is you do it along the coast and create a saltwater intrusion barrier, but you lose some of that water to the ocean. And the other thought is you do it inland to prevent the loss to the ocean. And then kind of a third option is a hybrid, some on the coast and some inland. So once that groundwater model is fully complete, it'll help us to ascertain where the best place to put those injection fields are.
Yes.
And Madam President, as a reminder as well, Oceano CSD was able to get some grant money through Integrated Regional Water Management Planning, Prop 84, and your board has already selected a consultant who will start doing the work pretty soon on evaluating potential recharge sites within Oceano. One is at our water yard where we have two antiquated wells and they don't have a long useful life. One is in the area of Halcyon, and then the third area is down by the intersection of Halcyon and Highway 1 in close proximity to Arroyo Grande Creek. So that work effort is going to be done by Tim Cleath and Associates, or Cleath and Harrison Associates, who is also intimately familiar with the overall efforts. So we're separately doing that work also, as Mr. Fine had indicated, that some of our work is supporting the bigger picture efforts as well.
Thank you. James, any questions?
I don't have any questions. Good presentation, Mr. Fine.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Then I would like to open it up to the general public if they had any questions.
Madam Chair, for protocol purposes, individuals.
Protocol, you need to come up and address the board if you have a question. Please.
Then I almost don't have a question. I'm sorry. There was one of the dates, this sounds really.
Excuse me. For the record keeping, could you give me your name, please?
Mary Martin.
Thank you.
One of the dates that was up there was 2019, so is that over a year out, or was that a wrong date on that thing?
Yes. Could you answer that, Mr. Fine?
That was a typo. It's May 15th of this year at 3:30.
Okay.
Thank you for catching that.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
I just want, before I leave, I do want to thank your general manager, Pava Ogren, for his contributions to the project and your board's support for the project. As I said earlier, without the cooperation of each of the five agencies involved, we wouldn't be where we are. And we're very lucky, and I'm very grateful to work in a community where all of these five agencies come together for the common good of everybody and work together in a collaborative manner. So thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you. Thank you for all your efforts. Yes, Mr. Varney? Would you like to come up to the microphone?
Thank you, Charles.
I want to congratulate you all for this this feather in everybody's cap. It's a great progressive step forward. What I've given you all is a letter that I wrote on behalf of the Coalition to Protect San Luis Obispo to the County Water Resources Division Chief Engineer relating to local groundwater management planning and the proposal by a consultant to the County Water Agency and the agency itself about the Pismo Creek area, which is part of the fringe area of the Santa Maria Valley groundwater basin. And this area is being proposed to either be removed from the basin with no management or declared as a sub-basin. But nowhere in the consultant's report, which is referenced on the backside bottom of this letter, is there any mention of the Arroyo Grande oil field. And the Arroyo Grande oil field is the single most significant potential point source of potential groundwater contamination that we have in our area, given that it is doing deep underground injection of concentrated oil field waste products at a rate of about 9 million gallons overall in terms of the production water. And more importantly, that field is slated for an increase of 481 wells, which will up its production from 1,000 barrels a day to 10,000 barrels a day, and will up its underground injection of waste concentrated wastewater and chemicals to over 1,400,000 gallons a day. Now, this is a really, I think, very serious issue for all of the five cities, because if that underground injected fluid gets into the Santa Maria Basin, gets into our underground drinking water aquifers, we will be doing reverse osmosis with the ocean or with our groundwater in order for it to be potable. This is simply kind of a heads up, I think, for everybody that we need to be very vigilant about how this fringe area is defined by the county and the kinds of accountability there will be around the Arroyo Grande oil field and their future operations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing nobody else come forward, I will move into special presentations and reports. Mr. Vine, would you like to take a break to get your equipment out? Thank you very, very much. And Thanks for all the work. That's all? It's not yours? Okay. Thank you. Moving on to special staff reports. Operations, Tony Maraschino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino. For the past couple weeks, we've had basically, we'll start backwards here. Last report I gave you for last month for delivery of Lopez was 421 acre feet. That actually finally got corrected by the county because when they installed a new meter back in 16 of December, it was registering in gallons. So the actual delivery since April 1st for the Lopez water year is 656 acre feet, not 421. That got taken care of. It's not a drastic change for us. By no means, we have the water in Lopez. We had zero SSOs for February, no sewer system overflows. Lopez, as of today at 4:20 p.m., is at 50.2%, which is 24,791 acre feet. And we have pumped just shy of 25 acre feet. So we have our daily samples. We've had 8 work orders, 6 USAs, 8 customer service, 2 after-hours call-outs. One was for a lock-off that needed to be turned back on. The other one was behind the Rock and Roll Diner at the homes back there. Initially, it was an SSO called in by a resident. When we showed up, it was a water line that was broke on their side. They've had a contractor out there installing new water lines because the galvanized lines are really old and deteriorating. But we've got another not a call out, but we had to respond to another water leak. Plumber broke another line out there when he was doing the work. All right. So we had to identify a sewer lateral to ensure property was not on septic on McCarthy. Continuing to do trash pickup. Cleaned out the lift station. The field staff attended a class at the city of Arroyo Grande, a ROMAC class. That's all ROMAC is. They design parts for repairs, replacements, makes your life a little easier. They come out with new products every year, which is really good to go to, see what's out there. Continue to change meters. We started our valve turning, so the guys are really getting on the valve turning. The VFD has been replaced, and everything's running good back at the yard. We went to repair a leak that was on our side. Once we discovered the leak, we dug it down. The neighbor's water line was actually tied into the same water line going to the other house, which is not standard because they had a 1-inch meter. So once we found that out, we had to run a whole new service to the neighbor, to the 1-inch meter. That was interesting. Hadn't seen that one in quite some time, but took care of it. As for the fog program was completed for 2017, 100%. And as of 18, it's currently on track. So Casey looked into that, pulled the records, and I verified them. First of the month, equipment runs and checks, door hangers, lock-offs, and we had to locate the sewer lateral, the depth for the new melodrama project that was going in place so they can tie into it. Any questions?
No, it sounds like a busy 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's always busy.
Yeah.
We enjoy it.
It's nice to see that dirt being dug out, and that's going to be beautiful when it gets done.
Oh, it's 2 stories. It looks great on paper.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Great improvement for Highway 1.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Manager Ogren, you have the floor.
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, some brief comments today. Tony had mentioned that Lopez is at about 50% of its capacity, and recent conversations with the county and Mark Hutchinson with Public Works has indicated that the county is starting to work on the revisions to the low reservoir response plan, and we'll hopefully have those for your board's consideration this summer. and back to the Board of Supervisors around August. The importance of the revisions to the Low Reservoir Response Plan, the LRRP, is really getting it to work better and as it was originally intended. If your board recalls, all the Five Cities area during the drought scrambled in order to get the LRRP together. And as the drought was declared over, we went through an exercise of what did we learn and where do we see improvements necessary in the LRRP. South Dakota County is embarking on those efforts, and again, hopefully we'll have the product to your board this summer. A lot of my time since the last board meeting has been spent on the bid documents for our water and wastewater pipe relocations that are required as part of the county's Air Park Drive Bridge replacement project. I've also attended another executive committee meeting with the Five Cities Fire Authority, and that we can cover during discussions of item number 9A. And the last thing that I want to mention is that with respect to will serve letters, we've recently become aware that a number of our intent to serve letters have actually been issued building permits. And so the melodrama is one where the county is not supposed to issue the building permits until the applicant has a final will serve letter for us. The purpose of the intent is to indicate that we have water that's available, but then the applicant has a number of conditions that they have to comply with before getting a final will serve letter. Examples are just simply payment of fees, construction of laterals, making sure that the meter box is in, because as soon as we finish the final will serve letter, it means that everything is final. So we've got about four or five property owners currently who are under construction where they don't have final will serve letters. So I've been coordinating with Supervisor Compton's office, who is also outreaching to the planning. Apparently the planning department has upgraded their permitting system, but there's a couple bugs that need to be worked on. So we are working on them with that. It does create some angst amongst property owners from time to time. So want to make sure your board is aware of that when these kind of issues happen. Then with respect to your board's consideration of future intent to serve letters, what you can anticipate we will do is until the time that we have the bug worked out with the county, until the county can make sure that their new system is fully implemented without the bugs, we'll bring intent to serve letters to your board just like we always do, but then the recommendation will be to deny. And the idea is the intent to serves, then our recommendation would be to approve at the point in time that they're final, right? And that way the property owner will understand the basic conditions, but our recommendation is not to issue any intent to serve letters until the county snafu is done. Again, that's what you can anticipate there's for handling them in the future so that we can make sure that everything is addressed in proper sequence.
Now, they would still know when the intent to serve letter that has little details of fees and costs and everything.
That's right.
They would get it, and we just sort of put it on the table until they got a final building.
Yeah, until they complied with the conditions or until the county fixes the snafu in their permitting system.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that concludes my comments.
Okay. Let's move on to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. Well, the first two aren't here. Director Coldwell.
Well, thank you, President White. Along with President White and Mr. Ogren, I attended the committee meeting that was referenced by Mr. Fine on March 9. His presentation goes into greater depth than that committee meeting did itself. I do salute the wisdom of the committee changing the name to the Central Coast Blue rather than the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project, which nobody even wants to be a part of, much less here. Anyway, I won't repeat what Mr. Fine already presented better than I would. And then yesterday, again, along along with President White and Mr. Ogren and some members of the community. We attended the County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisor meeting in San Luis, and they spent a great deal of time arguing and discussing and actually reaching some consensus on a unanimous basis rather than 3-2 on what to do with Cayucas. Cayucas, as many of us know, is running out of money in their fire program, and the Board of Supervisors, like I said, unanimously reached some accord, and that will be covered further later this evening in more detail. So that concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you.
I attended the last meeting of the South County Sanitation District, and we just worked again most of the meeting on the updating our policy and procedure manual, and the we're in the middle now of looking into hiring a new administrator. So that process is going down now. That's all I have to say.
Okay, and I attended the first thing I attended, I think since last time, was the sheriff's town hall meeting. And for benefit of Oceano, there was the members of the community action team, the CAT team that's cleared the creek channel, was there, and they are continuing to patrol the creek channel and ensure the fact that the homeless are not living in that area. And they're working with a variety of programs. They continue to work for the homeless. They also presented a lot of details on crime stats. Crime is up, but not markedly. And I thought it was a generally interesting meeting, equal to the one 2 years ago. I also went to the Board of Supervisors meeting, and I'll report on that later. And we can move on. We went call for public comment on our special presentations and reports. Seeing nobody come forward, move on to consent agenda. And I believe I again get to call for public comment. Seeing nobody, we'll move on to consent agenda.
You ready to approve it? Does anybody want to pull anything off?
You want to pull anything? I don't.
No.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda with the on item 8C, the revised modifications on the on Carrie, what Carrie presented on the what was the payroll? What was
cash.
It? Cash
disbursements. Yeah. Enough paper.
With the modifications on 8C presented by staff.
I'd second that.
And as a friendly recommendation, also the deletion of item 8B.
Deletion of item 8B.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 3-0, 2 absent. We're whipping through it tonight. Move on to business items. Do you want to have public comment afterward or before, Mr. Minnery?
Probably after.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would make more sense, too. Moving on to 9A, review, discuss, or provide direction as deemed appropriate to your board by your board agenda items consistent by the County of San Luis Obispo at their meeting of March 13th regarding fire and emergency services for Cayucas and the San Luis Obispo County Local Agency Formation Commission at their meeting on March 15th regarding countywide fire and emergency services.
Madam President, members of the board, so in substance in the agenda item was the two other agenda items, the Board of Supervisors agenda item as well as the LAFCO agenda item. And I did read every page. A lot of the information is really background information, and I think tonight's discussion, focusing on first the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday, your board may also want to discuss, I understand the City of Arroyo Grande met regarding the Five Cities Fire Authority last evening, and then of course the LAFCO hearing item for overall discussions about countywide services is on their agenda for 9 o'clock tomorrow morning in the County Government Center. My understanding, well, I also attended the meeting at the Board of Supervisors, and President White, based on our discussion, I'm going to sort of turn the mic over to you for your observations of the meetings and Director Colwell, and then I'll follow up with my observations as well.
The challenge put forth before the Board of Supervisors was the city, the Cayucas Fire District, a special service district, is needing to disband because they are no longer able to fund fire services for the city of Cayucas. And the issue was how and if the county would take over. County government does not have the responsibility to fund and provide fire service. It's the state of California and or a city responsibility or a community service district responsibility. They acknowledge that although legally they may not have responsibility, is one of the public, the basic public service requirements that, the public safety requirements that the county needs to meet. There was a lengthy discussion on how Cayucas could be funded to keep a Type 1 fire truck, otherwise a structure, the big structure trucks. There's little trucks that go out and put brush fires out, and there's big trucks that put out, that have taller ladders to reach roofs and things. And the final result was the board unanimously voted to order staff to provide funding to see that if this could all be continued in the Cayucas area. Beyond that, there was also approval, and I'm going through my notes rapidly as I can, approval for a service analysis for countywide fire districts and fire funding, labeled a blue ribbon committee. The Board of Supervisors ordered their staff to make plans to put together such a committee that would study countywide the fire funding situations and come back hopefully in about a year. And we don't know who's going to be on that committee yet, but we would hope that somebody from Oceano would be selected for that committee. The LAFCO report that I have points out that the Oceana Community Service District is somewhat short of funding for fire. Templeton is short of funding for fire. Cambria Pines, got about 10 pages of reports here. But all the small districts, all the small fire districts in the county are having the same challenge, and that is keeping sufficient firefighters on staff, trained firefighters on staff, to keep the stations open full time. And I was very optimistic. I spoke in favor of the Blue Ribbon Committee. We were very strongly supported by our supervisor, Lynn Compton. The county fire chief was supportive. The other members of the board were supportive. CoLab, which is an organization that represents the industry and agriculture, was supportive. And I think that maybe we're going to have some good things happen to solve the challenges of, and it's not, it like the county fire chief said, 90% of the time, everything's fine. It's that 10% of the time that you can't predict what's going to happen and bad things happen. And it's the 10% of the time they're trying to meet that special need that could result. How's that? And I am scheduled to go to the LAFCO meeting because the whole thing is going to be continued. The San Luis Obispo County Local Agency Formation Commission is a group made up of Board of Supervisor members, City Council people, special district people, representatives from the entirety of the governmental entities in the county and the cities. And it is their responsibility to determine if a special service district can be disbanded. And so that it'll be, they'll be meeting tomorrow morning, and they are again going to talk about the overall effect of fire. They have comprehensive reports, piles of comprehensive reports that they have coming up for a meeting tomorrow morning. So I'm optimistic. In the meantime, and
did the supervisors vote on it?
Yeah, 5-0 to
do the fund the Cayucas.
Yes, they did support the Cayucas. They did support. It could be that would be the only structure truck. There's structure fire trucks in Morro Bay, but beyond that, up through San Simeon, if they didn't fund Cayucas, there would be no big fire trucks for San Simeon and Cayucas, where they have hotels and motels. You would need the bigger trucks for rescue of people, and that was the big issue. Yeah, was funded up to $1 million temporarily until some other system can all be put together. And Oceano's part of the Five Cities Fire Authority and with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. And I wasn't there, but I was told by the fire chief of the Five Cities Fire Authority that there were...
Madam President?
Yeah, but that there was some... that Arroyo Grande is concerned with Oceano's ability to fund our part in the future.
So I understand it too. I was hoping maybe we can work through the discussions on the Board of Supervisors and then transition over to some of the discussions with Five Cities Fire.
Okay.
Just because we have a lot of different moving parts and relationships with different agencies right now. And Director Colwell, I'm not sure if you had other observations. I have some that I want to add.
Well, feel free
regarding the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do it in proper order.
Actually, I do have some comments on the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday.
Sure.
Number one, I would repeat for emphasis, because those of us who've been following the Board of Supervisors of this county, so many of the votes are 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. Yesterday, 5-0. Now that is significant, and it's a huge step for the Board of Supervisors to say they are going to step in, and because fire service is so critical in the county, they are going to support Cayucas, because Cayucas reasonably is pretty much out of money for their fire services. And they part of their 5-0 vote included approximately $1 million, actually a little bit more than that. We don't know exactly the final figure that would be spent in support of Cayucas. It's huge. During the discussion of that, not all of it amicable, Chairman Pajong says, well, whatever Cayucas gets, I want to make sure Templeton gets, because that's where he lives. Our supervisor, Lynn Compton, says, what Cayucas and Templeton get, Oceano gets, because we do have some difficulty contribute as much as we would like to the Five Cities Fire Authority. And our funding is very limited because it's primarily the result of the county sharing property tax with us. There were lengthy discussions by CAL FIRE Unit Chief Gelbert, who has had various proposals for the kinds of fire services needed throughout the county, specifically including Cayucas. And Cayucas is in an important geographical location as President White mentioned, they really do need a Type 1 engine in or around Cayucas, because that's about the northernmost part of the county that has fire service available. And that would require a Type 1 engine, really. The materials that we got, and they're extensive, excellent background concerning San Luis Obispo County and the different efforts and all. One thing that particularly caught my attention in the background material comes from the Templeton Community Service District, where they are seriously looking at pursuing a modification of the property tax sharing from the county to the community, which of course is a primary basis for their funding of fire services. That's where Oceano's at. Our funding of fire service is limited almost entirely to the county sharing with us property taxes. The Blue Ribbon Committee was approved in the same motion, 5-0 vote by the supervisor, and it looks like we're off on an extensive effort by the county to assist some of us smaller communities, specifically concerning fire services. That's where I'm at.
And so then if I might add some comments and observations, and during my commentary to the Board of Supervisors, I made a certain statement, and so with all due respect, Director Colwell, I'm going to do a slight clarification of some of your statements.
Okay.
Because for the unincorporated communities like Oceano and Templeton and Cayucas, it is important to recognize that our sole source of discretionary revenues for fire and emergency services are property taxes. The county and the cities like Rio Grande and Grover Beach also get sales taxes. They get bed taxes from the hotels, which are called transportation occupancy taxes. And they have some other revenues, and obviously some of them are looking at the new green revenues that are out on the horizon. But as the unincorporated communities, you know, it's property taxes. And I comment that part of this challenge is the fact that Prop 13 established property tax limitations. And that's not a dig on Proposition 13 at all. I mean, I think most people in California very much like Proposition 13, support Proposition 13. There's challenges associated with it. But the idea that it's simply the reality of the funding to special districts that have fire and emergency services like Oceano, and that the public demand for fire and emergency services has increased over the decades, and the property tax revenues haven't kept up. But the clarification is that there is no cost-sharing agreement with the county on property taxes. That's all established by state law, and it's all established by Prop 13. So the Board of Supervisors doesn't take that action. It's the county auditor, treasurer, tax collector that simply follows state law, much like our county sheriff follows the penal code in the implementation of his duties. And in my report to your board back in January, one of the points of emphasis was that from my perspective, I think it's unlikely that the Templeton approach is going to see a long-term subsidy of the county for an independent fire agency's operations. And instead, it's more likely that the county would, in the other unincorporated areas, do like they did in Cayucas, which is to fold the operations into their own operations. Why does this make sense from a general perspective? And it's simply the idea that the county then can manage the service. If they're going to be helping to fund it, they can manage the services, they can control the budget. And that was really, to me, one of the heart of the discussions, because clearly the Board of Supervisors saw the importance, as your board does, of fire protection and emergency services, and that even though it's not technically a legal mandate for the unincorporated communities, either for the counties or the special districts, the responsibility of public safety is one of the primary responsibilities of local government, and the board, as the supervisors as well as your board, has long recognized that. So the challenge that they said is, how is it that they're going to fold the Cayucas operations into the county operations? What is the budgetary implications? And one of the things that really stood out, and I think Director Cole, well, you mentioned it, is that Cayucas has a regional significance on the North Coast. And so that was one of the reasons why they knew that they needed to act. And so, you know, they gave the green light to Cayucas, but their motions were not an absolute commitment to provide the level of service that Chief Gelbert had been recommending, simply because they need to go through the budgetary process. So the county is clearly going to take the best step forward that they can. They're going to take over the responsibility, and they are going to then, just like every other thing that all the local agencies have to do, is they're going to have to, you know, weigh their budget and figure out how they're going to implement it as best as they could. One of the other discussions was, you know, is this going to set a precedence? Because if they set a precedence with Cayucas, what is that going to mean for Templeton? What might that mean for Oceano? And so then that's where I commented to the Board of Supervisors that our numbers are almost flip-flop from Cayucas, where Cayucas currently generates about $600,000 a year in property taxes, and they need another $900,000 a year. Oceano generates about $900,000 a year in property taxes, and so our shortfall underneath that Cayuca scenario would be about $600,000 per year. If we're able to stay with Five Cities Fire Authority, I don't think our shortfall would be as large, and that will then lead to some of the discussions that they had with about the city of Aurora Grande last night that occurred. But the bottom line is that this Blue Ribbon Committee, I think, was extremely important. Because the service levels and the funding that exists from one community to another really does vary. It's apples and oranges between Oceano and Templeton and Cayucas. And so to see the leadership at the county recognizing the importance of the service and the willingness to commit the effort in order to address solutions. And with the Blue Ribbon Committee, my understanding is that the Board of Supervisors has, you know, tentatively looked to staff in order to develop recommendations on the Blue Ribbon Committee. But one of the things that we can feel rest assured about is that it's going to be, you know, broadly based. I would expect that there's going to be industry-level experts on there, that individuals who have a lot of really good fire and emergency services experience will be on there. I think that individuals associated with government funding at a technical level will probably be on there, and also on how government does reorganizations. President White mentioned Local Agency Formation Commission. That's their primary job, and so whether David Church, who's the executive director there, is one of the appointees will remain to be seen. But we have a lot of different technical expertise from the fire and emergency services to fiscal issues to how government might need to reorganize. And David Church at LAFCO has already been working with San Diego County LAFCO, who did a similar analysis a few years back and reorganized their countywide fire and emergency response services. So the three components that I could see a Blue Ribbon Committee addressing are levels of service, you know, specifically fire and emergency response. Second is the funding, and then third, how might it be reorganized? And in addition, that I would expect to see some of the technical expertise, I think it's also pretty common then that the Board of Supervisors will likely appoint some policy individuals, you know, elected officials from throughout the county. And that way there would be a good mixture of both technical expertise as well as those who, such as your board members, are burdened with responsibility with making policy decisions in difficult situations. One of the things that I want to make sure is to give kudos to Vice President Austin, because the concept of a Blue Ribbon Committee and the need to really get a countywide focus here was a result of the meeting that we conducted with Supervisor Compton, and certainly our Vice President's you know, relationship with District 4 Supervisor Lynn Compton helps open those doors and helps make sure that the dialogue can happen. And so, again, that whole concept was originally initiated with the meeting that I attended with Vice President Austin and Supervisor Compton. I suppose then that that's sort of the transition to the discussions that we're having in the Five Cities area itself.
First, I think one thing we didn't completely explain was that the primary fire suppression force for San Luis Obispo County is CAL FIRE,
yeah.
And the County Board of Supervisors contracts about $20 million a year for CAL FIRE. And Napomo is covered by CAL FIRE. Oceano originally was covered by CAL FIRE, but one of the challenges with CAL FIRE is their primary responsibility is wildland. They're primarily, because you get the cities, the urban areas have their own fire departments, and then the rural lands are all covered by CAL FIRE. And sometimes the CAL FIRE stations are actually closed, like this time of year, several of the CAL FIRE stations in San Luis Obispo County are closed because there's no danger of wildland fire because it's raining. So if somebody living way out in the mountains needs medical service, it's a long ways away. I just thought I'd add that.
Yes.
And then some cities like Pismo Beach contracts with CAL FIRE. And so does Avila Beach and
Los Osos.
Los Osos. Yeah, they contract with CAL FIRE.
So we're obviously been consistently supportive of the Five Cities Fire Authority. And I think it's important for the individuals who tune into the meetings to recognize that this discussion is not a discussion about replacing Five Cities Fire Authority and moving over to the county or CAL FIRE. Instead, what it is it's part of our district's due diligence about what are the future of fire and emergency services for Oceano going to look like. Certainly, there is funding challenges everywhere, and our ability to stay with the Five Cities Fire Authority has some uncertainties associated with that, and that was the topic of the report that I wrote for your board in January. In that report, one of the things that I recommended at that point in time was for ad hoc committee members to be established from your board, from the city of Rio Grande, and from the city of Grover Beach, because it's been my position that the more that we're able to dialogue about the challenges that we have, the better opportunities are to be able to find solutions for them. And the cities did not seem interested in having that other dialogue with us. Everything is still going directly through the Five Cities Fire Authority. And I mention this as an important point of emphasis because the Five Cities Fire Authority right now is a joint powers authority, and the Five Cities Fire Authority is currently obliged to implement that joint powers authority as currently written. And so this separate topic is how might the future change? And that's why I encouraged separate and additional discussions, not to not have the discussions at Five Cities Fire Authority. I think the discussions at the Five Cities Fire Authority continue to be important, but the separate and additional dialogues are important as well, because when we get into the challenges that we're facing, solutions come from dialogue. So the idea is I'm very happy, very pleased that the county and Supervisor Compton and all the members of the Board of Supervisors have essentially seen it the way that we see it, which is dialogue is number one right now in evaluating the situation. And I guess that's a little bit of a contrast with what may have occurred at the city of Rio Grande last evening.
Well, yeah, I can say because I got it fairly direct. An unidentified member of the Rio Grande City Council suggested they throw Oceano out of the Five Cities Fire Authority. It's a joint powers agreement. It doesn't work that way. You don't throw somebody on the allegation that we were not paying our share, which is not true. I just was looking at some of the notes. Rio Grande share is 52%, Grover Beach is 31.8%, and ours is 15.5% of the calls. Those are the calls by community. And that's about the way we pay.
We pay approximately 20%.
Yeah.
And so this then gets to the point that If any of the agencies are dissatisfied with how the JPA or the Five Cities Fire Authority, there are provisions in the JPA for agencies to either withdraw or to come up with a mutual three-agency agreement. But it's not the option of one agency to tell the other agency that they need to go away. And considering our expressive desire to have additional dialogue with them, what might happen with the additional dialogue? It might help to address some of the concerns that the city of Rio Grande is expressing. But for them to have those types of discussion while not wanting to engage us in discussions seems a bit disingenuous, and certainly in direct contrast to the proactive actions that the Board of Supervisors had yesterday.
Yeah.
And
I was very disappointed.
The old adage, more heat than light, seems to apply in many circumstances, and maybe it does apply here. And certainly, if there could be an ad hoc committee, I think it would be beneficial for all three agencies involved in the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Yes. And I should say that in 2017, there was 5,768 individual calls. And 63, almost 64% of them were emergency medical. 2.2 were fires. We talked about that 10%. 3.7 was hazardous. 25% was what they call goodwill calls or service calls. A smoke alarm is ringing. Someone needs to help someone get back into bed. It's amazing that it's really a medical service agency and fire department. And that's one of the other issues. I think sooner or later we can put together a system so that we can separate some of those emergency medical calls away from the fire department. But right now we're talking and working hard trying to resolve all the issues.
Well, and when we're committed to this process of due diligence, I think that a lot of different topics need to be on the table. We know that the Oceano Fire Station was closed twice recently. We know that the Grover Fire Station had reduced staffing on several occasions recently. Those are tough challenges. But when we face those tough challenges, people really need to come together to try to work on solutions rather than pointing fingers at each other. And prior to moving to the LAFCO discussion, I do want to report to your board as well that during our Monday morning staff meeting, it was reported to me that there had been some rumors that I walked out of a meeting with the city managers and Chief Lieberman last week. Well, that meeting was originally scheduled from 1:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon. I left at 2:48. I indicated to them at 2:30 that I had a 3 o'clock appointment here at the office regarding the Airport Drive Bridge project. So I was able to stay till 2:48, but then, you know, it's about a 12-minute drive from the fire station to here. And, in fact, legal counsel Minner even gave me a little bit of razzing for not being here right at 3 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get it one way, and then I get it the other way. But, you know, again, those are the types of comments and conversations that are not productive for finding solutions. I was at the meeting, stayed there. I understand there's a lot of concerns, but we had it scheduled to end at 2:30 at a 3 o'clock meeting. I had to leave, and there's no reason for people to be pointing fingers regarding that type of issue. So I turning it then to the LAFCO discussion tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be four speakers. There's going to be Chief Gelbert as well, Supervisor Compton, and Supervisor Debbie Arnold from District 5 are the two county LAFCO representatives, and so it'll be good to hear from them, 2 days after the Board of Supervisors hearing, and some of their follow-up comments about the Blue Ribbon Committee and Cayucas and this multi-agency effort that we can expect on the county side. Cal Fire Chief Gelbert retired, Dan Turner, who has also done some work with emergency services. The county's chief emergency services officer, Ron Alsop, will be there. And then there's a fourth individual who I don't know who he is, but he's coming from another jurisdiction. I'm not sure if it was coming up from San Diego County.
Yeah, good.
But he wasn't on the agenda, but he has since been added. So they're going to have four well-versed individuals to talk about, you know, the challenges of fire and emergency services. And so it should be a good discussion tomorrow at LAFCO as well.
Okay. Also, Friday morning, there's a fire board meeting.
Yes, and so what I understand is you're going to be looking at two different budgets.
Uh-huh.
One budget is going to be based on the strategic plan, which would show the last numbers that I saw would be a 41% increase in the budget. The other alternative that I understand you'll be reviewing tomorrow is a budget that's based on existing staffing levels, and that reflects about a 15% increase in the budget.
Actually, as I'm looking at it right now, for us, it's 15% on the status quo, and it's down to 22% on the...
So the 41% changed to 22 because they updated their numbers on calls.
Yes.
By a community.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that makes sense. The multi-year projections... In the implementation of the strategic plan over multiple years, we'll then see that 22% go up.
Yeah.
The discussion with the managers and Chief Lieberman then is what would be the impact if the funding level was the same? So the status quo budget that they have developed is status quo staffing levels, and it would see a 15% increase versus what impacts might they be faced with if it was a status quo funding model? This type of information is all pretty crucial, so I do appreciate both Chief Lieberman and the Finance Director from Arroyo Grande, Debbie Malico, doing a lot of number crunching, because in order for your board and Oceano to get a better arm about what the future might be, then, of course, the Five Cities Fire options need to be on the table.
Yes. Neither one of these budgets looks really happy in that, you know, the increase just for the status quo, the increase would be $123,000.
And so we, you know, again, after your Five Cities Fire Authority meeting on Friday, I'm scheduled to get back together with the city managers again.
Okay.
And do more follow-up.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have my ears open on Friday listening to see what Grover and... Because it's not like any of the three entities in the joint powers has a big bundle of money to put forward, a big bundle of extra money. They're all...
That's my understanding as well. I think that it's been discussed at both of the city councils that they are both looking at something in the order of magnitude of budget deficits next year that exceed $500,000 before talking about increases in funding for Five Cities Fire Authority. So, you know, in some ways, they have greater challenges than we do because they have those multiple sources of revenues, and so they have competing interests within cities. You know, our county law enforcement is funded by the sheriff and is funded by CHP. The cities have their fire departments, which also have to be funded with their discretionary funds. They also have parks and recreation and other maintenance types of costs that, you know, I'm not intimately familiar with the city's budgets, but they have multiple different demands on their discretionary revenues. So not only are they facing some funding challenges, but they're facing, you know, the fact that they have to fund multiple things. And so I am somewhat sympathetic to the challenges that they have are a little bit more complex than ours.
Well, and another thing that's driving this budget higher legitimately is the increased pension costs in CalPERS and the fact that the new decision that reserve firefighters who work for Five Cities Fire Authority also have to be paid CalPERS retirements. And when those retirements go up, that just raises the budget. And that's and there's also some workman's comp insurance premiums going up. I mean, there's the cost of doing business is going up for everyone.
Well, and that,
is that PERS decision set in stone?
It is now, I think.
Well, my understanding, and Carrie was the one who participated in the webinar, what CalPERS is looking at, in addition to changing some of their actuarial assumptions, is to reduce the amortization periods on some of these unfunded issues that they're dealing with.
Well, but it also sounds like they're trying to expand the basis of the contributors.
Oh, for Five Cities Fire Authority itself, there's that additional issue.
Pending.
But the bigger issue is really a statewide issue.
Oh, yeah.
Associated. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that I understand that the city of San Luis Obispo is facing some really significant challenges because of the pension liability issue.
Yeah. But I was referring more narrowly to the decision of
CalPERS. It's not final yet on the reserve officers having to be on CalPERS. It's not resolved, but they're looking at it in the budget, though.
And some of that, you know, there's two different statuses for pension in California. One is they're called PEPRA employees, the new admittees, and that's what pension reform has already accomplished, is reducing pension benefits for new employees. If the Five Cities Fire part-time employees fall under the PEPRA category, then the fiscal impact's not going to be as great. The classic employees, individuals, you know, such as myself, who have been around and for a long time, those are the ones
this
that are driving.
Say he's really old.
Yeah. So in terms of the impact of new employees on the unfunded pension issue, that's negligible. And our numbers are showing that for PEPRA, everything's okay. Again, it's that historical unfunded liability associated with the older employees and the ones who have, you know, a lot of vested interests that are the ones that are proving more challenging to fund, and not the new entrants.
Anyway, you have
Well, I just want to thank you very much, Pablo. Thank you guys for going to the meeting yesterday. And thank you for all this work that's getting done ahead of time. And I was also curious on what President White said about the meeting in Rio Grande last night. And with that board member saying throw Oceano, was it the words throw Oceano out? I mean, that's so unprofessional, and it gives a bad perception of the community of Oceano, like they'll think the Five Cities Fire Authority is having trouble because they're having to carry Oceano when it's not the case. So is there anything we can do, send a letter, something to stop that kind of talk against our community? Do we just stay above it?
Stay above it.
Yeah, I think
it's
so.
I just get tired of that kind of...
I think it's, you know, we would potentially be throwing fuel on the fire. I got to tell you, last year I was at a social event in Pismo Beach, and Councilmember Reese, you know, who's a petite lady, comes up to me and gives me a big hug. And she was really happy about her observations about how your board is really dialoguing. And I think that's the idea. We just have to maintain the positive dialogues, stay focused on solutions, understanding what the details are that need to be addressed, and not engage in that.
Your approach to this has been right up from the very beginning, like get on ahead of it, you know, and that's what we've been doing to try to solve the problem and not blame other people or say someone's dragging, or, you know, that we're working for the betterment of our community, which is...
Well, and I always have a little bit of hesitation of even this level of dialogue when there's a camera on,
right?
Because we don't want to put fuel on the fire. But the fact is, in California and the Brown Act, these are the types of things that we have to talk about openly. Well, I cannot sit down with, you know, three of you and say...
Had it just been someone saying, but he's in a public meeting, so then there you go, people, oh, Oceano, yeah, they're the reason that the Five Cities Fire Authority, that guy's, well, that's what I don't like.
Well, and with all due respect, I think that it's a bad reflection on the speaker much more than this
exactly.
community. That's how I see it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just
that's
keep,
correct.
You know,
another
just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Another detail. I would sure like to get copies of the Five Cities Fire Authority proposed budgets as well as the agenda for the LAFCO meeting tomorrow, if that's possible.
You didn't get the LAFCO in your board
agenda? I'll forward them to you. So in your board package for tonight, you do have the LAFCO agenda as well.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It's there.
It's here.
Okay.
It's one
yeah, I know you scoured that in a lot of detail, Director Colwell, so I think that you just probably missed that.
First pages. It must be in the latter pages.
Well, and you know, I see my fiduciary duty is not to fight with my neighbors or to have disagreements, but my fiduciary duty is to ensure that Oceano and Halcyon has the best fire and emergency service program that we can have. However we have to do it, Five Cities Fire Authority has always looked to me to be the best. I'm old, and the reason the Oceano Community Service District is here is because the people of Oceano and Halcyon formed a community service district. They formed a fire district. So it started out as a fire district. Not that CAL FIRE wasn't doing a job, but the CAL FIRE station is up on the hill by the refinery. That's the closest CAL FIRE station, not counting Pismo, to Oceano. And so you waited and watched. They raced down the hill, but they're still 15 minutes out, 10 minutes out, and your house is burning. So to me, Five Cities Fire Authority is the best fire department we've ever had in this area. And they continue to prove that. And so I don't want to lose them. Anyway, end of speech.
And I know I'm always supposed to let you have the last word, President White, so I apologize. I was reflecting a little bit on public comment during items not on the agenda regarding town hall meetings. And
yeah.
So we are in the early effort of putting together some thoughts that will return to your board, hopefully in May. Regarding a meeting that would cover our water situation, energy, because of the county's work on, they have a grant for energy self-sufficiency. But water, energy, the fire department, fire services, and then the hazards, because we got the grant for the local hazard mitigation plan. And the thoughts that we're going to be bringing to your board in the near future is to have really a town hall meeting that covers all four with different individuals. And there's some good different approaches there. But that seemed like it would be more likely we could get a good draw in covering those rather than having one town hall meeting on water and then having one on fire and then one on because it's really hard sometimes to get a lot of people out to four different meetings. We obviously have some individuals in the community who are very active and would do so. But you know, we're really trying to tailor it to the community to have a broader-based, multi-topic town hall meeting.
Sounds excellent, just as long as it's not May 15th. But we also, I'd like to see a little bit about Central Coast Blue, if we could put it in there too, just to, no, it might be too long.
Well, there is, you know, we appreciate the feedback. We'll work in that on the water portion of the discussion.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Public comment?
Public comment.
Thank you. Brenda Lowe, Oceana resident. My comment has to do with what actually appears below item 9. Had to do with future agenda items. Is this the appropriate time to ask that or get clarification?
I think we'll probably be there pretty quickly.
So I should wait?
Yeah, it'll just be a few minutes.
Thank you.
We're on the downhill side here. Yeah. Okay, moving on to 9B, consideration of recommendations to authorize the general manager to solicit bids for a replacement standby generator in accordance with District Ordinance 2016-01-1, and to authorize the president to execute a purchase order for a replacement generator at an estimated combined cost of $85,000. Approve of a budget adjustment and related actions.
Madam President, members of the board, so this breaks down into five different recommendations. And in the staff report, I had indicated that we were getting bids on the replacement generator. I want to start with that because when we go out and bid for having somebody to do construction, whether it's to install a replacement generator or to, you know, essentially build anything, the question always becomes, are we asking the contractor to supply equipment? Are we going to provide the equipment? And so the heart of these recommendations here is that the district would be providing the generator. Our bid efforts and getting quotes on the generator really help to explain exactly why we're doing that. So there's three different predominant generator companies that we're pursuing with Caterpillar, John Deere, and Cummins. And in working with their electrical engineer, the idea is that we're going to have those generators maintained from time to time. So if there's a small generator supplier out of Kansas City, we don't want to have maintenance workers having to fly in from Kansas City. Now, those generators might be good at a refinery or at other areas where the organization, whether it's an oil company or a public agency, has their own maintenance staff to take care of the generators. We're not that size of an agency, so we'll have to rely on somebody outside in order to maintain it. As it turns out, John Deere indicated that they don't have a generator that meets our specifications, and so then that leaves us with Caterpillar and Cummins. And both of those have spec'd out equipment that our electrical engineer says meets our requirements. The issue, though, still becomes service agreements. So Tony has been doing the review on service agreements and to see if there's apples and oranges between the two different quotes. So one quote, for example, the question that came to my mind, does that quote include a service agreement, and is the other manufacturer going to have a separate service agreement that we're going to have? So making sure that we really get apples to apples on the two different quotes. That's kind of a long way of saying is that we don't have a final recommendation on the generators tonight. I was hoping that we would, but we don't, because we want to really make sure that that's correct. Now, your board still has the discretion to authorize the president to approve that. Well, and you know, but we don't have specific criteria on which to say which one should be selected. And so if the board were to take this action, especially recommendation number two, then the president would be working with staff based on the idea of comparing the bids, comparing what's included, our service agreements included or not, and then what is our confidence level of being able to get service on those generators when we need to have the service. That type of judgment associated with the ultimate purchase is something that I would normally reserve for your board, and we would come back. And so certainly your board has that kind of discretion, and it's really up to you. It doesn't change our estimate of $85,000. With respect to the budget, there is, though, that second issue about how are we going to fund it. So I don't know, 9-10 months ago, we updated all of the resolutions and the findings associated with the public facilities fees. And so if we wanted to, if your board wanted to utilize the public facilities fees, then I'd need to work with legal counsel to develop the resolutions and the other findings that would be necessary for the public facilities fees. Even though that was the initial direction that we were going in, I'm hesitating on that direction right now because of the uncertainties associated with future fire and emergency response. The recommendation at this time is to try to preserve those funds as best as we can to help address the future uncertainty of our fire and emergency services. So if the public facilities fees are preserved and if the other general fund reserves that we have are preserved, then our only other option is to do an advanced repayment of a portion of the water fund loan that's due to the general fund. And your board had previously adopted a resolution on that amortization. The good news is that when we went through the final audit, our water fund is in better shape than we had previously anticipated. And so to do an advance repayment from the water fund to the general fund to cover the generator costs, I do not see any hardship on the water fund to do that. The entire repayment of what the water fund owes to the general fund, that would be a hardship on the water fund. But for the magnitude of the generator that we're talking about, I don't think that would be really all that difficult for the water fund. That's where I would go. Now the idea of what about the uncertainty of fire and emergency response? The fire station has already been closed a couple times. Are we going to see more brownouts in the future? How important does that generator really become when we're weighing it against other things? I still support the emergency generator because the fire station is one of two critical facilities, the other being the sheriff's substation. And we're also looking at the expiration of that lease with the sheriff's department in 2022, and I think making sure we've got a good automatic, emergency standby generator for the sheriff's helps with the lease of renewal that we want from the sheriff's department. So despite the challenges that we're facing, I think it is still good to move forward with the replacement generator. And my recommendation would be to come back and modify the amortization repayment from the water fund and have some advanced repayment there so that we can continue to preserve the public facilities fees and the other reserves that may prove crucial for fire and emergency services, at least maybe in a stopgap approach for next fiscal year. The other recommendations, authorizing the general manager to solicit bids, that's pretty standard. Included in the package are the design documents. The electrical engineer has completed the design. They're there, and he has initiated the permitting with the county and essentially indicated that that's pretty close to go. We just have to select the final generator. Additional services agreement with Wilson Engineering of $2,320 for bid documents and construction-related services is pretty standard. He'll come out, do construction observation while the generator is being installed, work through the startup operations with the contractor to make sure that everything is working properly. And then the notice of exemption under the Environmental Quality Act. The other thing, Tony's been working closely with the Air Pollution Control District because a permit from APCD is required, and that's a generator-specific permit. So we already know that they're going to approve the CAT, and if the final evaluation is the recommendation for Cummins, then we need to make sure to run that through APCD as well. I don't see any challenges with pushing off the final selection of the replacement generator, because in order to line up the $85,000, whether it's from public facilities fees or from an advance repayment from the water fund, both of those are going to require some subsequent action by your board anyhow.
So we could approve 1, 4, and 5.
What we might do is just if you provide direction on the funding options, I think then there's a pretty good chance that returning this could come on the consent agenda as a return item. If there is a coin toss to do with the two generators, then I would put it as a discussion item. But if one generator is clearly the better buy than the other one, then I can have everything back out on, you know, resubmitted on the consent agenda.
It seems to me with these several different issues that pending or flapping in the wind, is there any need or urgency to make a decision on it at this point?
Well, we need to decide on the funding, which way the funding needs to go.
I think that's the best direction I could get from your board tonight is the funding direction. But, yes, you're correct. We have time. We can come back for final action on a later date. But if I have funding direction, then I can make sure to get the resolutions and work with legal counsel to get the T's and I's crossed on that stuff. So, again, our basic two options are utilizing some of the public facilities fees or doing an advanced repayment from the water fund. My recommendation would go with the advanced repayment from the water fund because we had some recent good news on the water fund and because I really think we want to preserve public facilities fees and other general fund reserves because of the uncertainty about future fire and emergency services.
And that's more advantageous than some sort of a hybrid?
Yeah. Again, we had some really good news on the water fund, so if the water fund pays off a little bit of its debt early, that's not a bad thing.
Do we need a motion?
No, because it would come back for final action, but if your board's generally comfortable with that, then you can anticipate that that's what I would bring back.
I would support it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Get your paperwork in order, son.
Yeah, give Jeff something to do.
Oh, I know. I have kept him pretty busy lately.
I know you have.
Okay.
So we do need public comment on that item.
Yeah, public comment on 9B. Well,
I do have comment on 9A.
Oh, okay. 9B.
It's Brenda Lowe from Oceano. I did want to comment on 9B just to say that it seems to make good sense to me to do an advance repayment from the water fund that's in better shape than was expected, certainly better shape than was a few years ago. And so I believe we're talking about an emergency generator, not replacement of...
It is a replacement of the prior emergency generator.
Emergency generator. And that having, for these emergency services, particularly having fire response here and emergency, I think it's really important for disaster preparedness to have good backup generators. That's extremely important, so I would just want to speak in favor of that. And then that's all regarding that item. I have a future agenda item.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay, let's move on. Hearing items, none. Received written communication, a late written communication.
Madam President, I did receive some written communication today, and I think that you can anticipate some public comment for items not on the agenda at your next meeting. I also got a visit from Jordan Richards, who's a public information officer. He's a California Highway Patrol and one of the dispatch. And what they talked about, the Highway Patrols has a nonprofit, just like Five Cities Fire Authority has a nonprofit associated with it. And for the last couple years, they've been hoping to get a fireworks booth on Hayashi's property. So this year, they decided to come in a little bit early to ask about what the timing of it is. We had a good discussion, and we also discussed that they're working with county code enforcement regarding the cleanup event, and they are trying to address the abandoned vehicles as well. We ended up, first they were wondering about the fireworks booth, and then the discussion evolved into some of the other work effort that the CHP wants to pick up. And apparently the new commander is very much focused in on the abandoned vehicles. It's not just Oceano, but it's a number of different communities. you know, there's sort of one of those multitude of problems that result when we have abandoned vehicles. These are vehicles that are parked on the public streets, and that's an important point, because if it's, you know, if it's behind the gate, if it's on private property, you don't have to have them registered, right? So mostly what they're seeing is abandoned vehicles that don't have current registration on public streets. And so I had talked a little bit about the solid waste policies, and again, a late written communication primarily for the purpose of wanting to get in line for a fireworks permit, and I suggested that they might want to come to public comment and to sway your board in advance, and you know, to express many of the things that they're doing for the community of Oceano. We heard some public comment earlier about how the CSD is the local government for Oceano, but in an unincorporated community, we know the reality is that there's multiple agencies that are providing services to the unincorporated area. The county provides services, the CSD, Five Cities Fire Authority does. Obviously, through the county, the sheriff has been providing great service. But the CHP also, as another arm of law enforcement, does provide services to the community. So it was nice to see them. They sent me some written correspondence, and I told them I would share it with your board tonight very briefly.
Okay.
Well, if I'm hearing that correctly, it's nice to hear that they'd like to grease the chute.
Yeah.
Okay. Future agenda items. And Ms. Lowe would like to have some public comment time.
Thank you. Brenda Lowe, Oceano. This is probably, I just need to be educated or it clarified. I'm looking at the items that are listed on the future agenda items, and I'm just trying to understand. We had a special meeting February 13th where we spoke for Cienega Seabreeze Park Incorporated and our discussion ongoing about water system, okay? And then when I looked at the agenda for the next meeting on the 28th, it was listed on there, you know, the follow-up, because the item, the minutes said it was continued, and so it was on that same agenda. But on this meeting, for today's agenda, it's no longer on future items. Do you, is it customary that when something's continued as a future agenda item that it appear on subsequent agendas? That would be my question, because we are eager to continue dialogue, and just as you spoke about, it's just dialogue, it's just problem solving, and there's no need to have a problem, but I did want to be sure that we stayed on the agenda and as your priorities permit that we do address that.
Thank you.
Yes, answer that, please.
Yeah, so in the subsequent one where we said Seabreeze continued, that was a little bit of a misnomer, because the direction from the board meeting is, yes, we're going to continue the discussions that are pertinent to Seabreeze, but where our next step is really addressing it as part of the district's overall rules and regulations. And so that was the district, the basic direction from the board. And then at our subsequent meeting on with regard to priorities, our target would be to be back with your board sometime this summer in order to talk about the water system rules and regulations. And then that would help to address Seabreeze in the greater context of the water services that we're providing throughout the community. And we had some really good feedback from Seabreeze during the meeting, and we'll be working on that feedback as well as our overall rules and regulations.
We'll make sure it's we aren't going to forget you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could always go district rules and regulations and parenthetically say including Seabreeze.
Yeah.
Am I through with my public comment then?
That's the discretion of the president.
Go ahead and say what you
know. I guess I have this little bit of fear that it's not more research we're looking at or dialogue, that I'm a little worried about there being new policy rules or regulations written that just say we have new policies, rules, and regulations, and we decided that's not going to happen. And so I want to be Do I just come to meetings, I guess, is my question, to hear discussion of rules and regulations as opposed to just wait until they're established with no opportunity for input?
Well, I hadn't thought about it.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll make sure, as we're working on the rules and regulations, to reach out to Seabreeze.
Yeah, we won't.
And it's a legitimate concern on your part. You're interested in it, and you deserve an opportunity to know.
Well, there's a little bit of an analogy, you know, that we also have to do our personnel policy updates, and there's a union. And so we never get to come back and say that it's done without meeting and discussing with them. And so it's one of those things, like we were talking earlier about, the county does not have a mandate to provide fire services, but they have a responsibility. When we're talking about HR, human resource policies and unions, we have a mandate to meet and confer. With many of the other constituents, we don't have a mandate, but we have a responsibility. So we will definitely reach out to Seabreeze as we're working on them.
Okay. Is there any other items to come before this board tonight?
Not for me.
Do I hear a motion?
I move we adjourn.
I'll second that. Meeting adjourned at 7:54.